Welcome to another episode of Black Ops for Private Business, the show where we talk about how to prevent fraud and material errors within your own companies. My name is Thomas Molinix. I'm the founder of Revision Management Consulting. And right now my guest is, I don't have a guest. With Christmas coming up, I decided let's not have any guests this time, but I actually have a great example of potential for fraud and a common theme that I see at a lot of private businesses and how you can prevent this from happening in your own business. So first off, I'm going to get rid of that because that's going to be distracting to me. There we go. All right. So you start a business, right? And you start to grow and you start hiring people on and you realize, oh, I need someone to take care of HR. And someone says, hey, you know what? I'll help out with that. Right? Great. So they start helping out with HR. Then you realize, you know, I've been doing all the invoicing for my clients or my customers. I need someone to help out with the invoicing. That person says, hey, I've got a little extra free time. I can help out with it. You say, great. That's so helpful. Thank you so much. You might even offer them a raise or maybe an extra bonus, you know, during Christmas time. But then that keeps adding on. Oh, you know, we have this accounting software and we need someone to have access to it. Oh, you know, I'll help out with that. I'll make sure they have the access they need. Eventually, you have one person who handles all of your HR, who handles some of your IT access requests. They might do some of the accounting for you. They might pay the bills. They might invoice your customers. They set up the customers and they set up the vendors in your accounting system. You see where the problem is heading here. Now, this is common. This is very normal for a business to run into. And we need to stop this from happening. There's two reasons. One, that person could rob you blind, right? They could set up a fake employee in the system and start paying them. And you might say, oh, I'll catch that, okay? They could give themselves a raise or a bonus. You say, oh, I might catch that. As you grow, you're not gonna catch it. Same with if they can set up a vendor and approve the invoices and make the payment, you're not gonna catch that every time either, right? So don't think about, oh, we only have 5 employees. I'll notice if there's a 6th employee added. What if there's 50 employees? Will you notice that 51st one added? Or will you notice that they gave themselves a $500 raise, right? That kind of thing you think you're going to notice, but quite often you're not gonna see it. So, and you're also, you need to protect your employee. This person is normally a very trustworthy, reliable person, but you've gotta take them out of the equation. Don't think about who it is or who's doing the work for you, okay? Instead, think about this. Think about a politician that you don't trust at all. You don't trust them with anything, even though they're in an office where they're supposed to be a leader in our country, right? Now imagine them in that role. Would you trust them with all of those responsibilities? Odds are you're not going to trust that politician, right? So you have to take away the person and think about the role and the opportunities they have. Also, anybody, the best morally grounded person, if you give them too much temptation, they're going to mess up at some point, right? I have a 13-year-old son. I am not going to leave him home alone with a girl with alcohol sitting around and stacks of cash on the counter and assume he's going to behave himself the entire weekend. Too many temptations, right? So would I leave him home alone? Sure. Would I leave him with all of that? Absolutely not, right? So this is where it's not that you're not trusting the person, but you don't want to give them that temptation that could mess something up. So what you need to do is take a step back, say, okay, how can I help this employee succeed? But also, how can I prevent any kind of major temptation from happening? So by breaking it out, that really helps. Now you'll also see on the screen right here, is my internal controls guidebook. Now, this is free, this is not a sales pitch. I have said from the very beginning that this is not a show to sell anything. And I strongly, strongly mean that. If you are listening on the podcast, there will be a link in there to actually my website where you can see this for yourselves. So again, this is not a sales pitch. This is not an item I sell at all. But this will help you if you're thinking, yes, I do rely on one, maybe two employees way too heavily, or they have way too many responsibilities. How do I break that up? How do I address that? So taking a look at this, see if I can make sure it works good. So this first page here is the table of contents. And as you can see, it's a pretty good sized document. It's about 27, 28 pages. And it really breaks down what internal controls are. What does that mean? And also, why are they important? It gives some examples of why you should have internal controls. And exactly what I was just talking about here is part of that reasoning. The next one talks about just it's simple review and oversight. You don't need 500 internal controls, especially if you're a small company. Excuse me. And you don't want to talk about the F word, fraud. You don't want to say, oh, I want to prevent fraud in my company, because you like to assume you can trust your employees not to commit fraud. However, one benefit by implementing internal controls is to prevent this fraud from happening. Okay. Now, you also have to understand there's a difference between business processes and business departments. Okay? A process is, say, your accounts payable department, or even just your vendor program. Someone needs to buy something, you need a new vendor. How do you onboard that vendor? What's the process? Who approves them? How do you know that the person who's making the purchase doesn't own that vendor, or that it's not their brother's vendor, right? So having a process to vet and approve them, making sure when they're set up in the system, they're set up correctly. You can set everything up perfectly, but if someone can edit the bank account information, you can think you're paying an invoice and instead you're sending a payment over to one of your employees and they're going to steal the money and walk away. But if you have protection as far as who can edit that information, it's critical. So you have to understand that, again, it's about business processes, not necessarily business departments. So how to use the document, it's very simple. You don't want to read 27 pages straight through, which is why we're not going page by page right now, reading each slide, right? Understanding the premise behind them. And so this next section here is on accounts payable, right? And it talks about at the top any kind of critical information that will help you, right? To help understand what this segment is about, any kind of critical notes as far as any kind of additional risks or anything else you might want to know. And then we actually break down specific controls that will be helpful to anyone. You know, if you have a PO process, a purchase order process, what do you do as far as non-PO related invoices? What is that process? Having a three-way match, invoice to PO to receiving document. It sounds very simple, but a lot of companies don't necessarily implement these processes. The next level is talking about entity level controls. And I'm not going to go through this whole document. You can look at it on your own, but you can see what we're talking about here. And again, in the podcast, you can see it whenever you click on the link in the podcast. And it's very important to know. And also, if you don't see a link, just go to r-vmc.com. And up top, you're going to see Our Passion Private Businesses. Click on that, scroll down a bit, and you will see this slide deck right here. Okay. Now, it's important to remember, don't think about the person and the individual who might commit the fraud. Okay. And it's not just fraud prevention. It's also preventing them from making critical errors. I had a client who, this lady was responsible for IT access, purchasing within the office, HR, accounting, petty cash, and paying vendors. So exactly my example, this was real world. Here's the other problem. She was working 80 hours a week. She was a single mom, three kids, taking her laptop home every night, every weekend. She was almost living her job while trying to raise these three kids on her own. And you're going to burn out those employees. So it's very important that it's not just, oh, I don't want them to commit fraud, but it's also, could they make critical mistakes? I'm sorry, once you hit about 60 hours, you're going to start making critical mistakes, right? And are you burning them out to where they don't want to work for you anymore? They care, they want to do their job, right? But they're done. So this also will help you identify where you can add headcount or where you can move responsibilities to other people already in your company and make this person's job easier and protect your company from any kind of fraud or just material errors and mistakes. So that's all we had today. It's something I'm very passionate about. I've had a lot of good positive feedback about this document, and it's just such a common issue. So if you have any questions, reach out to me. shoot me a message on LinkedIn, and I will gladly send you a copy of this this document. It's the Internal Controls Guidebook. Again, it's free. There's no sales pitch. There's no limitations here. I don't share it with my competitors, even though my competitors keep asking for a copy. But otherwise, if you ask for it, I'll send it to you. So I hope everybody has a Merry Christmas. I hope you're able to get some time off. Thanks for watching or listening. Have a great day.